Joining me on this portion of Notably Texan is an Austin singer, songwriter, and producer who has made a name for himself in the Texas country scene. Over the past about 10 years, he's released some 5 albums. He's toured countless miles and met lots of new fans. Plus, he's shared the stage with the likes of Clint Black and Randy Rogers Band and Jack Ingram. Joining me this afternoon via telephone, I'm happy to say hello to Kyle Park. Welcome to Notably Texan, Kyle.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be talking to you today. Nice day here in Austin. Hope you're doing good there in Northeast Dallas there.
Oh, we certainly are, man. It is a beautiful day all across Texas here, and I was going to ask you where we found you because I know that you reside there in the Austin area, but remind folks that, of course, Kyle, you tour all around the state. Coming up over the next week or so, you're going to be in Robstown and Laredo and Wichita Falls. you're all over the place, man.
All the fun places in Texas, that's right.
That's great, and I know that you're going to get back down here to the Dallas area, in the near future, and folks can keep up with your tour schedule at your website. We'll give that out in a little bit. And just a reminder to listeners that Kyle's latest record, Blue Roof Sessions, is out now. Unlike so many performers who call it home, you are, in fact, originally from the Austin area, right?
That's right. Yes, I'm calling from home right now, literally.
Nice, because I know, so many of the artists that I talk to, of course, just get to Austin as quick as they can, so you're one of those few who can say, hey, man, I was already here. Where have you guys been?
That's right. I've seen it transform, and it wasn't this big. I mean, now it's huge, and you can't get through Austin without driving for an hour and a half, it seems like.
But yes.
I tell you, it's still a really cool place. My family's still here, and I'm real close to my family. My business manager's south of town in San Marcos. I went to school in San Marcos, so I grew up in North Austin, now I live in South Austin, so I'm in the middle of all the important people in my life. So it's hard to leave here,
Oh, of course, right. How could you possibly leave? I understand that. Well, Kyle, since you started making music all those years ago, you really kind of became known for your traditional Texas country sounds, but as happens to a lot of people as they kind of get a few years behind them, I would say that maybe your music tastes have melded and evolved a bit as we kind of hear on your Blue Roof Sessions album. Would you say that's a fair statement?
Yeah, they've I don't know if evolved. They haven't changed. It's just kind of expanded.
Yeah.
That's the best way of saying it. And I feel like, I was telling someone a couple of days ago, I almost feel like an actor sometimes, not in a bad way, but in the sense of I don't want to make the same movie over and over.
Yeah.
It's cool to branch out and try something different. And Chris LeDoux, one of my heroes in country music, even said, cowboys like some rock and roll. So I thought it would be fun to play. In my opinion, what I did is pretty rock and roll, even though compared to what country is these days, it's not even close. It's
right.
Traditional country, which is, but I thought it was important to try something new, and it really sounds like my band too. It's definitely a kind of a 5-piece. It has some southern rock influence in there too, and it has that feeling. So the next record I make will probably be a kind of more traditional route like I've done before. But
yeah,
the Blue Roof was definitely a fun, really cool, interesting experience in studio.
Well, that's good, man. And as an artist, thankfully, the world is thankful that I do not make music because I have no musical talent. My only instrument is the CD player. I play that really well, but no, I don't make music. But I can imagine as a creative person that it would really be quite a drag to just do the same thing over and over again and just kind of be stuck in the same old rut all the time.
And yeah, it's the monotony of being stuck in the box too. And that was a big part of the Blue Roof Sessions. It wasn't just making different music; it was making music in a different form as well. We didn't just go into a recording studio. We rented a big house on Lake Travis there in Austin.
Oh, wow.
And lived in the house for a month, brought all the recording equipment to the house. Me and my drummer and the engineer on the album lived there, and we wrote some of the songs that made the record that month.
Really?
Some of the songs that made the record I wrote 10 years ago. So it was just kind of a big experiment, and let's just see how it goes. Let's record as many songs as we can the month that we're here. If we record 5 or 10 or 20,
yeah,
we'll keep the best ones. And I think we did 19, and I kept the best, I'd say the best, the 12 that fit the record the most properly.
Absolutely. And that's a really cool way to do it. I've heard of a lot of different bands and acts over the years who have done what you've described, where basically instead of going to a studio, they find somewhere where they can really kind of unwind and kick back and not have all these pressures of being in the studio and, hey, time's ticking. We got to get this done today. You had all the time in the world.
The time thing was a big factor. It wasn't more about, it wasn't like we got to relax and kick back, because the truth is I would be on the road Thursday, Friday, Saturday.
Okay.
I'd get to the house Sunday, I would just recover or write. And then Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're recording again.
Oh, wow.
And I'd leave Thursday morning. So what? And we didn't, it wasn't really, I mean, it was fun. Don't get me wrong.
Sure.
We had fun, but, and we didn't record every single day. But the days we could, we worked and made the best of our time. But definitely when you're in the studio, in a recording studio, time is money. And you're kind of trying to spit out 3 and 4 songs a day.
Yeah.
With the house, it was a lot of just like, hey, let's just work on this song all day if we have to. Let's just not quit until we like it. Because we have all month. You know.
That's great. I'm sure that was a memorable experience for you.
Hey, yeah, it really was.
If anybody's just tuning in, my guest right now on Notably Texan is Kyle Park checking in from Austin. This is 88.9 KETR, Notably Texan. So, Kyle, I'm curious, you know, with these kind of more rockin' sounds that you have shown on this latest album, did you kind of grow up with some diverse music influences, or was it primarily country?
The truth is it was primarily country. I mean, I tried to like some of the pop and the rap that my friends were listening to when I was 6th grade, 7th grade, 8th grade, but all my friends listened to pop, and I was digging back into Merle Haggard and Buck Owens and Bob Wills and Hank Williams. I mean, I really was.
Gotcha.
So with the Blue Roof, that was, I really found more, and you know, I was trying to think of when I said this, or maybe I haven't, but I'm kind of like sick of hiding from the fact that I really don't love what's been on the mainstream radio for a long time. And you know, Blue Roof Sessions is a mixture. I mean, I've grown to like different styles of music because I've not been the happiest with what country music's become in some formats, you know?
Right.
I mean, I love Texas country. I do, and I love traditional country. And even, I know my record's not traditional country, and so the new record I made is kind of a mixture of what I've grown to like in other genres.
Yeah.
As well as trying to maybe see if there's, like, some... I don't want to say mainstream appeal for me, but more national appeal for me, because I also recognize that traditional country doesn't do the best when you go northeast.
Right.
Or if you go to, I don't know, Canada or something like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the truth is I want to play music for everybody in the entire world. So sometimes I feel like just doing traditional country kind of, you know, boxes me into one format. And I hate that, going back to feel like an actor some way. Like, because I'm not just country music lover. I love jazz and swing and rock and mariachi.
Right.
And stuff. And it's a shame that just because, you know, I put out one CD of country that I can't try something different. Not that anyone says I couldn't, but
no,
I would just, that's why producing is such a great thing. That's why I'm able to be a producer and be independent.
Yes, absolutely. And no, this is really kind of an interesting pickle, I guess, that an artist finds themselves in is, you know, you get into the music biz. You know, I don't know that, wouldn't it be great if somebody explained all this before you ever started it, that, you know, hey, you got to pick the right genre that you start off with, because that's what people are always going to associate you with.
Oh, don't get me wrong. I would never go anywhere except country music, because I would just be a fool. I wouldn't know what I was doing. I'm country to the bone. And,
gotcha.
But I do play guitar, too, man. I love a little rock and roll. It's the truth. And, our show, I don't lean, you know, at least I didn't make, you know, I wasn't going to make a rap song, and I wasn't going to make something I didn't know about.
Right.
I think there's music for all kind of people. This new record has some country flair to it, no doubt about it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt, man. Well, you really do let that that little bit rock and roll side shine through on, particularly on your cover of the Billy Squire 80s hair anthem, Rock Me Tonight. That was kind of an unlikely surprise to find on the record.
That's right. I thought it'd be fun, man. I mean, the whole record was a why not decision. From recording in the house to recording some of the songs I'd written 10 years ago. And it was just, that song was, to me, it has the makings of a country song, because one, it's called Rock Me Tonight.
Yeah.
For a country song. And two, it has a great bridge, and it has a cool pre-chorus, and it has a head lick, and it has a repetitive nature of harmonies, and it has the chorus. It just has all the, structurally, it has everything that a good country song needs. And I thought, before that record, I thought, man, it'd be kind of a cool song with fiddle and feel someday. And then once we started making the Blue Sessions, I thought, dude, this would be just a good song for the record.
Yeah.
It matches the record. And we tried it out, and we probably did 2 or 3 takes on that song and thought, man, that was awesome. Let's just keep that. And it fit the record well, I think.
I'm rocking tonight. I'm walking on air. I'm gonna find me some trouble. Gonna grab my share. You tonight, I want you with me. Make me guilty of love in the first degree. Yeah,
It's a Billy Squire original from the 80s, Rock Me Tonight, covered by my guest Kyle Park. That's off of the Blue Roof Sessions album, and really kind of showing a different side of Kyle Park that some of his original fans might not have even known he had. Kyle, happy to have you along for the ride here this afternoon, checking in from Austin. Love that recording of Rock Me Tonight, man.
I was just thinking, man, thank you very much for playing that song, because that's one of those deals where I know that everyone doesn't like that song the way I like that, and, you know, it's really a risk for me to take something like that. So it's, even to have one person out there, man, it's always good to hear people like you who support just fun, good music, man. It doesn't have to be country, just... It's fun.
Exactly, man.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's my pleasure. I, you know, people that are regular listeners to this show know that I tend to lean a little bit more towards the unusual cuts on albums. I love to play sometimes the weirder cuts on records. So maybe that's why I lean to that. I don't know. But I'm going to give another example of your stuff before we're done here today. But Kyle, tell me a little bit about your approach on Blue Roof Sessions, because now we were talking about this earlier about how you did record this in a completely different way from perhaps the other albums, because it wasn't done in a studio proper. You actually rented this house out for a month, and you guys were able to spend more time on tracks and not be as worried about time constraints and everything. But I mean, was this something, did you have any pressure from a label, you know, to kind of get it done in a hurry, or was this more of a kind of a self-produced thing?
It was absolutely no pressure from a label. I'm independent. I have been. This is my fifth record independently, and it was the exact opposite, actually. I probably took too long making this record. We started recording this in July of 2013, we were in the house.
Okay.
And because of my resilience against labels, and even just, like, my promoter and my manager and all those people, it's like, I hate it when I make a record, and I've got some work to do still, and they say, all right, you've got 5 weeks or eight. I hate having deadlines. That's why I'm a musician, I guess. I don't like having deadlines. And it was important for me to just kind of work on this on my time. And there were some songs that I recorded in studio that were actually unfinished lyrically, and I just believed in them musically. I thought they were catchy. I thought that the hook was there. I just hadn't finished the song. And it took me until April of 2015 to finish some songs lyrically that we had recorded in July of 2013.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, almost 2 years. But it wasn't because I was lazy or procrastinated. It's because I just kept working on them until I wanted them the way I wanted them. It's just, once it's out there, there's no changing it. You can't re-release it, and, you know, it's only new one time.
That's a very good point.
And I just took my time. So, I thought it the opposite of having any pressure. There was no pressure.
That's the best way to do it. You know, I mean, pressure is something that nobody really appreciates, especially when it comes to, a creative person.
That's exactly right. Yeah, creativity is, constrained by it.
You don't rush a painter when they're working on that painting and say, just throw a bunch of reds and blues on there and finish that thing up.
Exactly.
And that is exactly what a musician is, of course, is just an artist in their own way. So, tell me a little bit about this tune, another cut from Blue Roof Sessions called Come On. What can you tell me about that cut?
Yeah, I wrote that song with a really good writer named Aaron Enderlin. We were in Nashville, and I had the idea of the 1-2-3 verse. And that was kind of a cool, pure definition of collaboration, because I've been parts of rights where I thought I wrote every word except the, one line here. And I've been part of rights where I thought the person I wrote with wrote everything, and I just threw in my word. But this song was, I feel like I wrote most of the verse. She wrote most of the chorus. We wrote the bridge together. And it's just a song about young love. It was been pretty, it was good writing with a woman, too, a female.
Yeah.
Writing a love song, because it just kind of gives both sides of things, and making sure that you don't say the wrong thing in the song describe the wrong emotion.
No, that's a very good point. And, have you done a lot of co-writes with female artists before?
No, only a couple. I actually wrote a song with a Houston native named Julia Cole a couple of days ago. I guess it was last year, but it was late in December. And I've also written with a friend of mine named Kimberly Kelly out of Waco. She's in Nashville now. But that was only my third time to write with a female, and it's so far we're 3-for-3, me and the ladies.
Nice. Well, that's cool. Let's take a listen to this one. And, you know, would you say that this is maybe a little bit more the traditional sounds that people might expect from Kyle Park as opposed to the Rock Me Tonight that we played before?
Sure. Yeah, maybe so. It's definitely also more, you know, more poppy side for me. Poppy being just happy and energetic. So, yeah, it's more of a up-tempo song for me for sure.
All right, so just come on, let's get a little risky. Come on, we're love drunk and tipsy. Come on, baby, just kiss me. Just kiss me.
I mentioned when we started things out earlier today that you don't have any specific gigs coming up in our immediate area, but if folks are maybe happen to be traveling around, you are going to be over the next 7 to 10 days in places like Wichita Falls and Laredo and Robstown. Where can folks keep up with your tour dates, Kyle? You've got, I'm sure, a presence online out there.
Oh, yeah. I mean, my website's kylepark.com. You can also go on Facebook and Twitter and all of them. Instagram, Snapchat, I'm on all those things, man. I'm all over the place.
You're everywhere. So I always
That's right.
I always ask artists, is this something that you're actually controlling or do you have somebody doing these for you?
Yeah, I have help on Facebook sometimes, but I'm the guy doing my Twitter and I'm the guy doing my Snapchat and I'm the guy doing my Instagram. So,
you know, I think that there are a lot of celebrities, for lack of a better term, out there, you know, people in the public eye who have these social network accounts that are not actually run by the person in any way. So I think that's refreshing to hear that you're actually doing it, man.
Yes, I mean, I'm good at it sometimes. There's some things I don't like about social media, of course, but I do like the fact that I can be in touch with my fans and tell them what's going on and have some fun. I treat social media as more of a sarcastic avenue than I do an informative avenue.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's
more
good.
More comedy and media.
Sure, man. Well, no, that's refreshing to hear that that's actually you, so fans know that they're actually, you know, directly communicating with the artist and not some third-party person in between. You know, that's cool.
For sure.
You started playing an instrument, I think, when you were still in your teens. I think you got your first airplay when you were just a young lad, right?
Yeah, I think I was 16 or 15. I know I started playing guitar when I was, 14. I forget now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you were, of course, growing up there in the music hub of the Austin area. So, you know, I guess that was the good place to be to get a song on the radio, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. And at the same time, when I was, I started playing guitar when I was 14, and I just got into singing when I was 15, and I got a job as a DJ at a local dance hall.
Oh, really?
I knew the owner of the dance hall, and he knew me as the kid who loves country music and a bunch of CDs.
Okay.
And so he just gave me a job, like, you know, $50 a night or something like that, and I didn't drink, so I wasn't a liability.
Sure.
And I would just get to meet the bands and spin CDs, and that's where I started playing songs on stage and getting comfortable in front of a crowd.
Wow.
And started writing songs after that.
So, I mean, was it strictly, I just have a morbid curiosity as a DJ, was it just playing music, or did you have to, you know, open a mic and announce things?
Yeah. I didn't open mic at all. I didn't even have a microphone. It was just, all I had was a 5-disc changer. So
imagine the dance
floor full of people, and after I'd play AC/DC, You Shook Me All Night Long, they'd stop dancing, and they'd wait for about 15 seconds.
Yes, well,
change around on the changer.
Waiting for the carousel to turn.
I was proficient. I had all the CDs ready. I knew exactly what track number it was on what CD, and I didn't make many mistakes. I was good at what I did, but with yesteryear equipment, you know.
Oh,
that was funny.
I have been there. I have done that. That is so funny. I know exactly what you're talking about, man.
Awesome.
Well, Kyle Park, are you still, man, you've been known for doing a lot of gigs a year. Are you still booking like 175 shows a year as you've done before?
No, we did 120 or so in 2015, and I bet we do something like that again in 2016.
Okay.
It's not that I don't love playing, but I also do a lot more things now than I did when I was 24. I do a lot more writing sessions and more acoustic events and more charity events, and just I find myself in different situations for good reasons that I used to not be in when I was younger.
Certainly. Well, no, that's, man, it sounds like that would probably really take its toll on you after a couple of years anyway. 175 shows a year, that's a long time to be on the road.
Yeah, I mean, I think the reward is playing, you know, play less shows and make more money, of course, is always the business mantra of what we're supposed to be doing. But then again, if I just want to play as many shows as I can and have great shows. The reason why we don't play more shows now is just because we've kind of maxed out on our markets that we can play without really massive radio play. We can't go to California and sell a lot of tickets like we can go to, you know, Dallas or Corpus Christi or Austin, something like that. So
That totally makes sense. And no need to explain why you're not doing as many shows. I was just astounded at that number of shows a year. That's an awful lot of gigs, man. Well, listen, before I let you go, man, is there anything else cooking at the Kyle Park camp for 2016 that we ought to know about?
Oh, I know we have some pretty cool shows coming up. I know we're playing in Flores Country Store near San Antonio with Cody Johnson.
Oh, nice.
I know we have some really big festival shows coming up in March and April. I know I've got a really big show in Corpus Christi coming up in March near Spring Break for Spring Breakers. And I'm looking forward to getting in the studio again this year and recording more music. Hopefully, if I can get new music out this year, I will. It might be late this year, but I'm getting in the studio probably next month.
Nice. Okay, I was going to say, I figured you were due to record some new stuff since, you know, this Blue Roof has been out for a little bit, and I know you're probably chomping at the bit to you know, share some new sound, so looking forward to
that.
That's right. Well, man, this has really been a treat. I always love talking to artists for the first time, particularly here on Notably Texan, and let's not make it the last, man. Come back and talk to us soon when you got some new music, would you?
I will, sure, Matt.
KylePark.com is where you can find out more. And huge thanks again. It's been a lot of fun spending this afternoon with you here.
Oh, my pleasure. I appreciate it. So I'm going to